Blog Talk Radio.
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and He showed me I was wrong, and He placed me on the winning side.
Well, I'm
on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in Him so often I confide.
Well, He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave Him full control,
and He placed me on the winning side.
Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm
on the winning side.
Out in sin,
no more will I abide.
No more in sin abide.
I've enlisted in the fight.
For the cause of truth and right.
Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Amen. Welcome back, everybody, to A Voice in the Wilderness online radio show. And tonight is a pretty sad night with, who would have guessed it, two church shootings in one day. We got 27 dead in Texas and 24 wounded in Sutherland Springs, just south of San Antonio, and this guy came in there, shot pretty much everybody in the whole church, and jumped in his car, drove away. Somebody that was nearby the church, him and his friend, jumped in their truck, chased the guy down, and the guy was driving so fast to try to get away from these guys that he swerved off the road and wrecked, and then they obviously held him at gunpoint until the cops showed up and arrested him. And so it's just crazy what's going on. And also in Fresno, California, there was a Catholic church, and just as Mass got over on Sunday morning, everybody was leaving, and then right as everyone was leaving, a guy steps out of his vehicle and shoots two people in a blue car, kills one girl and leaves the other person wounded, and then he ran and went and hid inside of a house. And police tried to evacuate people out of nearby homes before attempting to get the alleged shooter to surrender. And as of right now, at least from Fox News, they're saying no additional information is available. So we don't know if this guy got shot or arrested yet, but I'm sure that they will eventually get him. They probably got him by now. So, you know, the thing of it is that the stuff is happening. Persecution is coming. It's already here. It's already been here. Like my pastor talks about, persecution has already started in this country because people have already went to jail for preaching against homosexuality, and preachers and ministers have already given in to persecution and stopped preaching about that marriage is only to be between a man and a woman, and that homosexuality is an abomination before God. And so they've cowered down because of this persecution. They're refusing to preach the truth, and now it's just ramping up more. Now people are actually going and shooting people at churches, and it's only going to get worse, you know. And I think that young guy in Texas was probably on mind control. I see this one picture of him in the article on Daily Mail. If you go to dailymail.co.uk, look up this article and scroll down just a little bit. In the first picture, you see the guy, and he just looks totally like a zombie, just blank stare. And that's what these mind-controlled people look like. So can't prove it, but that's just a good guess. So what do you have to say about this?
So that Texas shooter is still alive. I thought he was dead.
No, actually, I think you're right. I believe he was shot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I was going to say, wow, I got that wrong. I agree with you 100%. I mean, we can't prove it, but, having just some discernment and following these types of shootings in the past, and you end up seeing like that Batman shooter, he had the same blank stare and he was obviously under mind control. It's kind of interesting. They use the same judge for all of these cases. I mean, after a while, it's pretty hard for them to control the narrative on this, so we'll have to watch it. I love how already I've seen on Facebook and different places how the Democrats pick this up and run with it and say, it's not ISIS, it's not Al-Qaeda, it's a white man and his AR-15, and I think, wow, they just totally swallow the narrative. And this is what the terrorist is, is white men that own guns, especially AR-15s. And so whenever I see something like this, I tend to fan back and take a little bit bigger picture of the synopsis of what they're trying to accomplish here. And the first thing I see is the agenda of turning every white American gun owner is the true terrorist. And I see the weapon that they want the most right away is the AR-15. So anyway, and if you think for a second that our hearts aren't sick for the people that have been shot, you're wrong. Because it bothers me greatly that this could happen in a small unincorporated town, such as the one we live in. However, just for any of you out there that are running these people on mind control, or anyone that thinks that they can just walk into a church and do this again tomorrow or next week, or I just want you to know that not every church is that vulnerable, and you can read into that how you want to, but that just isn't going to happen where I go to church, just so you know. Anyway, what else would you like to talk about?
So just to correct what I said earlier, the way the guy died was from the other two guys that chased him. They were chasing him at 95 miles an hour. He went around a corner and went off the road, and he died in the car wreck. So that's how he died.
Okay.
So sorry for making that mistake, everybody that's listening. I just didn't have that much time to research this today before I started the show. So my apologies. I always want to get my facts right. So what do you think about the Fresno incident? one dead, one injured, right after it. Like I said, it happened after this Catholic church got out and right as people were leaving.
Yeah, I'm still trying to. I think there's more to that story that we'll have to wait on, but it sounded kind of like, and I could be wrong here, it kind of sounded like something happened down the street and this guy was being chased, and then, you know, it was a timing thing of the church getting out, how it, you know, I don't know. It didn't sound like to me that he came in there to target the church, but that they were innocent bystanders into something that was happening, a crime or something that was happening just down the street. So does that sound familiar or am I way off? I don't know. I don't know all the details on that. I hope that it wasn't another targeted shooting. That is what Antifa, by the way, said that they were going to do. They were going to go into homes, businesses. Obviously, Christians are, you know, typically conservative. Trump supporting folks. So I don't know.
Yeah. So this guy that was a shooter in Fresno, he was a convicted rapist accused of critically injuring two California correctional officers on Saturday morning, the day before, during a jailhouse shooting, which booked on charges of attempted murder of his alleged victims, as his alleged victims clung to life Sunday. This guy, he's an Asian guy, Thong Vang, 37 years old, was also charged with being a felon with a handgun and bringing drugs into jail. So, yeah, I don't know.
I just think there's more to that story, don't you? I mean, yeah, very, very evil, bad man. And I think he was on the run from that earlier crime.
Yeah,
and
that's what it sounds like. He was on the run. It says here that he opened fire in a lobby area at the jail where about 15 people were gathered. He entered the area at 8:30 a.m. to visit someone, exhibited odd behavior, including pacing back and forth and attempting to cut a line of people. Then he pulls out a gun and starts shooting. And so, yeah,
but, you know,
must have been on the run.
You know, this could be, you know, another case of another mind-controlled person. Now, people are going to say, wow, why did they go right to this mind control? If there are people that have their ear to the ground and they know what's going on and they deal with this all the time, and, you know, I'll throw out a name, Russ Dizdar, and Russ talks about just how many thousands of people in each community are ready to be activated that are under mind control through ritualistic abuse from childhood and on. And it just really doesn't take much at all to then get these folks to carry out these just really devilish things. Now, if your goal is to take down the country and take out the president and bring in martial law, and, you know, all the demonic things that go with this, this is what you do. And, you know, we need to be watching. We need to be praying. We need to be kind of calculating where the Lord wants us, and not buy into the fear. But also not be a sitting duck. I suggest that people pack and arm themselves, because as they're wanting to disarm, you can sure believe me when I tell you that this is the time to be armed. Then, you know, a tragic event like this could possibly be limited to certainly a lot less numbers of deaths, if not zero fatalities. You come into the church in fatigues, shooting your gun, and somebody that's there at the door is able to take you out. Simple as that. And we're not, as Christians, we're not to just lay down and die like that. We have the Bill of Rights in our Constitution, which gives us the right to defend ourselves, the freedom of religion, is also then married to the Second Amendment. And it just, especially in Texas, I'm shocked that this went on there. In the coming days, I'd like to understand that a little bit more. But it is what it is now, so we need to pray for those people. And first and foremost, before everybody goes running to gun control, you know, we need to authentically pray for the families. I mean, this is just devastated a community. And I just pray that this would have an effect, that God would use it to draw many to Him, and that He would turn this into something. The devil means to kill, steal, and destroy, and God will use this in a powerful way. I know He will. So, but there needs to be care and concern for those that are grieving right now, and Lord Jesus, be with them in a powerful way.
Yes. Amen. Let's talk a little bit about this shooting in Billings, Montana. Looks like this guy went into this Big Bear sporting goods store, and it looks like he went in there in the middle of the night. It was just before 4 a.m. when police dispatch started moving officers to Big Bear. And this standoff lasted for 9 hours. I don't think anybody was killed. Praise the Lord, because the store was closed and there's nobody there. And so as police were trying to get this guy, he was firing rounds out of the front door of the place. So they took their Bearcat armored vehicle and parked it in front of the door to keep bullets from flying out. And so this lasted for 9 hours before they got this guy. So, you know, there's been a lot of shootings and terrorist attacks and stuff for the past about, you know, 10 years or so, maybe even longer in America. It's been happening pretty consistently, maybe once a year or a few times a year, but I've never seen three shootings like this happen within 2 days, within one weekend. Have you?
Well, you know, let's take a little look at this here a second. I can remember when I pulled off the freeway there, and it isn't a bad part of town, but they have a great big store similar to this store that's huge. And the SWAT team was doing a drill that day, walking behind the building. Now, where going with this? Well, they would love to no more than have a 9-hour training drill like this. And so I just got to tell you, I don't think that it makes any sense that somebody goes into a huge store like that to rob it. All that stuff is under essentially in... You can't steal. You can't get anything. It's all under, all the guns and ammunition are all under lockdown, infrared, you name it. So the guy ain't going to get out alive. It sounds like another mind control. Send this idiot in there, and then we can play with all of our mechanized units and infantry.
Well,
and
I don't think, I don't think that the local police would be involved with that. If it was a deep state mind control operation, they're not going to tell the local police about it.
No, they're not going to tell the local police about it, but the local police, are kept out of they might be three levels down the chain of command of what's going on, but you know that everybody else is going to come out to play. And it just it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense at all, because if you look at it, anyone that cased the place would know you're not going to end up getting any of those firearms. You're not going to get any ammo. And so why would you go in there and stage a shootout with the SWAT? You got to use critical thinking in these things. And all it does to me is it ends up being another guy later that they can parade around with an AR-15, another white guy that's another terrorist, you know. It just, you know, until all the facts come in, I'm not going to say any more about it, but it just strikes me as very odd. All of this does. And I see how quickly people swallow the narrative and then spew out that this must be a Trump, you know, voting white terrorist, so that we can get our mind off the real Muslim terrorist, you know. So things are changing quickly. It's coming at warp 9 now. You know, you talk about 10 years ago. I can't track that far back. There's been no time like what we're in right now. And the thing was, is we knew it was coming. We've had our ear to the ground. We listened to enough people that, you know, were telling us that this was coming. We've even tried to warn people that this was coming just in the last week, you know, telling people be vigilant, be aware of your circumstances, your situational awareness. You know, you're trying to tell people this and they look at you with a blank stare. What? But guess what, folks? It's coming. It's coming at warp speed now. And what's the point of saying that? The point is that, you know, you have a little talk of security at your church. You know, boys and girls meetings and clubs and school and sports activities. Pack. Be armed. If you're going to, you know, you're going to take your kids out to these areas where there's large groups, you better be vigilant. If you're the dad, stand at the door, you know, protect your family. So anyways, it's coming. We're in that time, that time where peace is being took from the earth. I don't know at what level or pretend to know, you know, but it certainly seems that you can see prophecy unfolding very quickly. And this isn't said to be create fear. There's nothing about my son and I that are into fear mongering or any. It's a reality. Can you handle reality, people, folks? Can you handle reality? I mean, you can get pissed and turn it off, or just, you know, play the latest video games that just came out, that came out a couple days ago. You know, those are, I find that interesting. There's many ways to subdue your feelings if you don't want to hear this truth, whether it be drugs or alcohol or sports. Sports are a good diversion, you know, as this country's going down the tubes. So don't be mad at us as we bring you the news and tell you that Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is at hand, Revelations 4, 5, and 6, and 7 as you read on of the horsemen being released to ride and what happens during in the earth. God and his generosity is sparing us Christians in a lot of ways, but at the same time, things are going to change. And we have to be aware of that, and most importantly, be right with a living God. Be right with him, and realize that every day is a gift. You know, the people in that town, a small town like that, every person in that town is in some way impacted by what happened there. It's a neighbor, it's a relative, it's a friend of a friend or a brother or a sister. They're affected. So they get what I'm saying. They know that every day is a gift from that point forward as they've experienced this severe loss. But do we need to wait until it happens in our town before we decide that, you know, this isn't things aren't getting better as we take God out and head the direction of homosexuality and head the direction of just sin upon sin upon sin upon removing God. It's not going to get better. My son did say that tonight that he wished there could be one more great revival in this land before all hell breaks loose. And I agree. I agree with that. I think that that's a noteworthy, noble cause to pray for, that if God would want to, because there is a harvest going on. Unfortunately, the harvest that I'm noticing that's going on around the world is taking place pretty much everywhere but America. and also in those places that Europe that have opened the door and laid out a red carpet to the devil. You can't do all these things and have your populace being raped and plundered and expect, you know, God to be blessing you in the midst of that. But I guess that's through sin and then the leadership that is voted in because of sin, and then there's the repercussions. But America's not very far behind that. Trump is trying to stop it. And, man, do you see all the demons rising up, trying to derail? And the amazing thing is, praise the Lord, that a lot of it is gaining no traction. So we got to persevere. And I guess I see this time that we're going into now, it's more important than ever to be vigilant. And alert and praying and smiling, you know, finding. I was really encouraged that you and Eric found some smiles and peace on some folks up there in Canada. I think that encouraged me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, everybody's just been pretty much turned into zombies here in America. Mm-hmm. They're just so lifeless, and they've become that way because of the video games and TV and electronics and cell phones and iPods, and they're just soaked into this artificial world, and they are blinding themselves from the real world that's right in front of them. And the worst thing is that all this technology, for one, it doesn't make us any smarter. It makes us more dumb. And two, it makes it harder to hear God's voice and to get in touch with God and spend time with Him. And so it's not a good thing. And it's changing the way we think. It's, you know, when you have to always be looking at your smartphone every 5 seconds to see if somebody has texted you, or, you know, to see if you got an email or to read your Facebook or what have you, then it's like a drug addiction. It works the same way, where you get a your brain is, I can't remember
endorphins.
The exact.
Endorphins.
Yeah, not your endorphins, but it's something
they
else.
They get released. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not called endorphins. It's called something else, okay?
Oh.
Anyways, though, it's like a drug addiction, and it messes with your brain. And when you have to look at your phone every 5 seconds, then you're so focused on all that artificial stuff on your phone, it's not even really a part of what's happening right in front of you, that it dumbs us down, and it keeps us distracted, and it's just horrible. It's totally stupid.
Is it dopamines?
Yeah, dopamine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I know that there is There's definitely, and then the new phone, I haven't looked into it yet, but I've had people sending me links to show just these new phones that are coming out are times 10, wicked bad. So I haven't got a chance. I can't really speak to it yet, but I guess, I hope this phone I have now never wears out. I don't want the new ones, but inevitably that's what they do. They move the populace into these newer phones, and there's talk of, their ability to affect the human psyche. I'll go that far. I'm not going to go any further than that right now. I know that new 5G, it'll be even more than that. It looks like a possible tool to connect you to a hive, kind of an antichrist technology. So, but that's the time we live in.
Yep. Did you hear about this guy in Minnesota? He worked at a Christian center, and he organized this event called Exposing Sharia and the Deception of Islam. And he was fired from his job, and all because of he's trying to get people's attention that Islam and Sharia law is taking over.
No, I never heard of that, but that does not surprise me at all. And it seems as if people are losing their mind at such a fast rate now that they would accept. It wouldn't shock me at all. I'm thinking specifically of somebody that I know that lives there right now, and it wouldn't shock me at all that they would buy into that. It's just mind-bending.
Yeah. Yep, people think we just need to be politically correct and nice and just let these jihadists move right over here and just, do what they're going to do. And I just don't get how they can try to call it the religion of peace.
Well, what I don't get is how the media, every time one of these Muslims or ISIS or any, they do these wicked things, they cover it up. They change it. They tweak it. But the second that they can go after pointing out a white terrorist, homegrown terrorist with an AR-15, man, when the narrative fits, they just go bonkers on it, So we're up against some powerful forces. I can clearly see now that it's not blood and flesh that we're battling.
Yep. That's true. Very true. Looks like we have somebody that called in. I'm going to bring them on the show a second.
Okay.
If I can. There we go.
Hey,
how's it going? You're on the voice.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, I'm Nathan in Orlando. Listen, I was just listening to you, and we are buying into it. We just recently had a show here, and I'm sure it's all across the nation, with this guy that did the terrorist act up here recently, and everybody's saying, well, not everybody, but a lot of people are agreeing, and the host was agreeing too, that if Trump says execute him, he needs to die for what he did, and they're saying no, in Islam, then he would be a martyr, so let's just put him in jail for the rest of his life and let him suffer like that. And I just called and told the call screener to pass it to the host, and she didn't. Because if he did, she did. He didn't touch on it. But whenever we decide to convict them or do what would make sense to their religion, we're submitting to it. We're going to really show them we're not going to let you be a martyr. I promise you, if the guy sits in the electric chair, okay, or he gets a shot and he's dead for what he did, you know, that will let somebody else know you're going to die. That's clear. I don't care what law you live by. You know, we'll figure out afterwards if your religion really works. We'll find out after you've been put to death and who you're standing before in eternity. Then we can let all that, the theology, work itself out after that. We don't need to have our system of law based on somebody else's philosophy. That's just my opinion.
No, we agree with you 100%. And the fact is now, a lot of these shows, you know, if you have anything other than the directed talking points, they're not going to let you on. And so thank God, there's other outlets like this one here where folks like you can come on and we'll stand with you. And we believe with you that, and even our president, you know, you see how every demon is coming out against him as he talked about a death, this guy being put to death. He needs to be put to death.
Let me clear something up on Donald Trump. I agree with you. He is a hedonist. He is a hedonist. He loves pleasure. He's lived his whole life for pleasure. The difference between him and somebody that lives by that down at the bottom, they deal with all the drama where he's in a different society, where his ex-wives and children, they all kind of like are more cultural, social than we are. You know, they're at a higher grade in that. But at the end of the day, Trump does believe in one thing. He believes in the rule of law. Even as a businessman, he would donate to politicians because he needed certain things put in place so he could do business with somebody in another country. Even if he's willing to pay to have a law made so that he can do something, he still believes in the rule of law. And that there right there is why God can use Donald Trump better than he can any of these Christian leaders we see out here in the churches or in the religious right movement. He believes in the rule of law, and that is, he's got the right thing in the right order. And then God can work with his heart on other stuff based even on that, because the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Do what's right, and you'll get to where you need to be.
Yeah, I do agree with you as dealing with his past. However, we have seen and are in contact with those that are talking about how he's allowing several of these Christian leaders to be in the White House and lay hands even on him and pray for him. I believe that you're right about his past, but I do believe, and you did say it, that God is using him, and God will use whom he chooses. You know, it just doesn't always line up with how we'd like to see it go or who we would think it would be, but I'm seeing the fruit. I'm seeing some fruit here.
You know, there's a rumor, and I've heard James Dobson speak of it, that back during the campaign he met with one guy and he did pray to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord. We all have different ideas of how theology works. Listen,
right,
man, I got saved at age, well, almost 20 in 1980, and I can tell you the day that I got saved. But as I look back, I see God in my work life getting me to a point to that all of my life. So
this guy, just
because we got a pass and we've made mistakes and we live by a different value system, Donald Trump's values is consistent with the rest of this generation's cultural values. You know, multiple wives, multiple children, and affairs, and you know, just have fun, man. Just that's all it's all about. He's just an expression. A lot of these Bible thumping pastors that's lived a good life and they're living a heritage that they've lived by because it was passed to them, and it's more of a cultural, social, moral thing than it is something that God's really produced in their lives, and that's why they can't stand. If they tried to get up there, they would not get anything done, because they want to cram stuff down your throat that they, you know, they just, you got to communicate stuff right. Like I said, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. If I know that I'm tired of getting tickets or I'm tired of getting arrested, the best thing to do is do what the law says. And guess what? That brings healing and order to my life. And if a man like Trump understands that and he's willing to pay to get a law done so he can get something done and not be in trouble for doing it illegally, there's a man that has a heart for the law. And any other kinks that he's got in his thinking can get worked out. He's the best man for the job right now in America in this time in history. And I think that we're going to look back and see he's probably one of the best presidents in American history as he looks back. Because one thing he doesn't do, man, is he doesn't buy into this compromise. You know, he does learn.
Amen.
He learned, you know, when he's there and he's learned that it's not the way he thought it was. But he's not letting these politicians around him form his mind and the way he does things. But I could rattle on, but I just want to say I appreciate your conversation, and I'm going to hang up.
Hey, we appreciate you. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Man, that's always awesome to have somebody call in. God bless you, Nathan. So let's talk a little bit about the Antifa protests that took place yesterday across the country. I know you seem to not really be sure about why there wasn't any violence, but why do you think that the whole thing was a dud and there wasn't any violence?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there were certainly a lot of people praying, and I think sometimes we tend to not really give credit where credit is due. When people authentically get on their face before the Lord and pray, God's hand does extend further. I can't explain it, but it is a fact. And he does move through the prayers of the saints. It says that a righteous man, his prayers avail much, right? And so
yep.
Many things can happen. And I really think that we saw something that was going to potentially be bad, and it just had no effectiveness. Now these other things that are happening, they could be spinning off of that. This is just the beginning of their movement. But listen, when you go out into the streets and it's 30 degrees out, and you start your meeting at around noon, and you know the newest games, the newest video games were released 2 days before you're getting together. You know, a lot of these people would rather stay home and play the video game and not march. So there's only you know, this thing is turning into more of a spiritual thing than a carnal or a physical thing. I mean, you can draw all the plans down on paper that you want and have the best plans. But listen, if you got a lady that's 90 years old that's been a saint for 40 years on her face before the Lord saying, Lord, don't let them get any traction. Do not let this come to fruition. Listen, I think that there's some things there that are gonna, the best plans are gonna fail. So, but you know, we need to keep praying. So often in this country, through pain, we'll move closer to God. But then, as soon as the sand is out of our eyes, you know, from the explosion or the effect of it, we go back to our flesh. So, I just encourage the saints. Your prayers are being heard. Your cries are being heard. Your teardrops are being collected. This is not in vain. This thing here called life, this test, and this temporal time that we're in, is a test of faith. Are you going to stand for Jesus, or are you going to compromise? That last caller, he hit the nail right on the head. He was talking about one thing about Trump, is he won't compromise. And you know what? Maybe it took a billionaire to get in there that can't be bought. You follow me? Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, and another thing I want to bring up is that, you know, when the election was going on, almost all the Christians were super worried that Hillary was going to get elected and that our country was going to fall apart. And, of course, it would have if she would have got in there. But people were praying like crazy. So many people are praying Lord, save America. Help Donald Trump get elected. And he got elected. And then, you know, a lot of people, some people kept on praying, you know, Lord, protect him. You know, we know that that they want to kill him. But a lot of people were also just let their guards down and just stopped praying after he got elected. And they think that now that he's elected, that he can solve all of the problems and that he can completely clean up this country, drain the swamp, and get things back on track. But the thing of it is that we still need to be praying for him every day because there's still so many corrupt people in our government that want to take him out and are working against him. And so he needs our prayers for protection and for God to give him wisdom and strength every day.
Yeah. And listen, folks, let me fast forward. This globe is going to burn until Jesus returns and sets up the millennial reign. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Okay. Praise the Lord for that. But folks, there is no political solution for a spiritual problem. I'm stealing that from Steve Quayle. That's not my own saying, but it's so accurate. Because if we're expecting a political system to save us, folks, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Now, I do believe with many others that we see this as a reprieve, a chance for, you know, more people to come to Christ, more people to, you know, I even believe that as things are crashing down around us, that God can still bless the individual that is. Turn to him and trusting him. I just, God is big, man. He's capable of so much more than we're willing to believe. So thank you for our belief and forgive us for our unbelief, Father, but, let us not put our faith in man, but in Jesus Christ. And, I ask people that hear this, can I run into you at a grocery store? Can I run into you at a gas pump? Can I run into you and have a conversation and you not be embarrassed to Jesus Christ? Can I ask that? Can I ask my brothers and sisters out there that say that they are saved and blood-bought from Jesus Christ, that believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, can I have a conversation with you tomorrow, the next day, a week from now? As things progressively get worse, can we talk about Jesus? I mean, I can't find too many people that want to talk about him. I can't find too many people that aren't embarrassed of the gospel. And you know, I tend to once I do find those people, I want to stay in touch with them. And so be a blessing. If you do have the love of Christ in you, don't hide it. You think now is the time to hide it or bury the talent? Man, he's going to be coming back soon and asking what you've done with it. You want to be the one that said, I bury it, Lord? Here, I give it back to you, just as you gave it to me. I've done nothing with it. Come on. Do you know how that ends? That ends very poorly for you, for me. We need to have our vessels full of oil and be ready to go out to meet him. Amen. That's all I got for tonight.
Yeah, amen. Got to have our vessels full of oil, lamps full of oil, ready to go out and meet the Lord. And, you know, like he said, it ends very badly for the guy that buried his talent and never did anything with it. In fact, it said Jesus will tell him, he will cast him into outer darkness, the Bible says. And, obviously, that can only be hell. So, you know, and that's pretty scary because there's a lot of Christians that the only thing they ever have done for Christ is go and sit at church on Sunday. Can't even take 1 minute to spend time with God and open up their Bible and read the Bible. I mean, that's pretty sad. You know, my pastor said this morning, he said, there's Christians in other countries that would die just to have one page of your Bible. And if you went all week without reading your Bible once, then shame on you. You are taking it for granted so much. Our Bibles here in America just sit on shelves and collect dust. Over there in other countries, anyone who has the privilege of being able to own a Bible, I guarantee you they read that thing every day, probably for hours. They memorize it, they study it as much as they possibly can. And they hold on to it for dear life. And it's just crazy how lukewarm we are here in America. We need to repent. Just like it says in Revelation chapter 3, to the Laodicean church, be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's the only way to break out of your lukewarmness and become on fire for Christ. Repent of your lukewarmness and read your Bible. Pray. Get on fire for God. You know? It's just crazy how I was thinking today, you know, people watch football and, you know, they yell and scream and get all excited when somebody gets tackled or when there's a touchdown. But yet people go to church on Sunday, and when they hear the pastor say something good, do you think they say amen? Do you think they shout hallelujah? No, because they love football more than they even love God. And so, you know, this, I tell you what, this country is one day going to get a very bad judgment for all that we've been given, you know, all the Bibles that we have access to, all of the Bible teaching that we have access to, all the freedom to worship God that we have in this country, and yet most Christians have done nothing with it. Man, I tell you what, and it's crazy how Christians from other countries like China and different places are sending missionaries to America now to try to evangelize America, because the church is growing in persecuted countries, but it's actually dwindling and being our numbers are being reduced here in America. We're falling away. And, you know, we need to be praying for the persecuted church in other countries, but the persecuted church in other countries are actually praying for America because they know that we're so lukewarm and we need help. So, you know, read your Bible, spend time with God. It's so simple. That's what it comes down to, you know. The thing we need to do is we need to get closer to God. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to Psalms 91, the secret place of the Most High. And Psalms 91 isn't just for every believer. It's only for the believer who is truly abiding in Christ, in a deep relationship with Him. When you're abiding with Jesus, then He has the ability to protect you from anything. And it lists all the different things that the Lord will protect you from in Psalms 91. And like I said, if you're living in sin, then you cannot claim Psalms 91. You have to be living in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him, and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Amen. So that's what it's all about. Get into the secret place of the Most High. Just like Noah during the flood, he got inside of the ark. That's what we need to do. We need to get inside of the ark, which today is Jesus. We need to be abiding in Jesus so that we can weather the storm. So hope you enjoyed the show. God bless you all for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong, and he placed me on the winning side.
Well, I'm
on the winning side, yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in him so often I confide.
Well, he's the keeper of my soul, since I gave him control,
and he placed me on the winning side.
Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide.
No more in sin abide.
I've enlisted in the fight
for the cause of truth and right.
Praise the Lord,
I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord, I'm on the way.